Chapter 15, at the Passover Supper.
The children of Israel ate the first Passover Supper at the time of their release from bondage in Egypt. God had promised to set them free. He had told them that the firstborn son in every Egyptian family would die. Then he had told them to mark their own doorposts with the blood of a slain lamb so that the angel of death might pass them by. The lamb itself they were to roast and eat at night, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. The bitter herbs represented the bitterness of their slavery. When they ate the lamb, they must be all ready for a journey. They must have their shoes on their feet and their walking sticks in their hands. They did as the Lord had said. That very night, the king of Egypt sent them word that they might go free. In the morning, they started on their way to the land of promise. So every year, on the same night on which they left Egypt, all the Israelites kept the feast of the Passover at Jerusalem. At this feast, each family had a roasted lamb with bread and bitter herbs, as their ancestors had had in Egypt. And they told their children the story of God's goodness in freeing his people from slavery. The time had now come when Christ was to celebrate the feast with his disciples. He told Peter and John to find a place to meet and to prepare the Passover supper. A great many people came to Jerusalem at this time. Those who lived in the city were always ready to offer a room in their house for visitors to keep the feast. The Savior told Peter and John that when they had gone into the street, they would meet a man carrying a pitcher of water. They were to follow him and enter the house where he went. And they were to say to the owner of that house, "The teacher says to you, 'Where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?'" Luke 22:11. The man would then show them a large upper room furnished for their needs. There they were to prepare the Passover supper. And it all happened just as the Savior had told them it would. At the Passover supper, the disciples were alone with Jesus. The times they spent with him at such feasts had always been occasions of joy. But now he seemed troubled. At last he said to them sadly, "With fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Verse 15. Picking up a cup of wine, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Verses 17 and 18. It was the last time that Christ would celebrate the feast with his disciples. Also, it was really the last Passover that was ever to be kept. The lamb had been slain to teach the people about Christ's death. When Christ, the Lamb of God, should be slain for the sins of the world, there would no longer be any need to sacrifice a lamb to represent his death. When the Jewish leaders put Christ to death, they rejected all that gave to this feast its value and significance. As Christ joined in the Passover service, he thought of his last great sacrifice. He was now in the shadow of the cross, and the pain of it tortured his heart. Our Savior knew all the anguish that awaited him. Jesus knew the ingratitude and cruelty that would be shown him by those he had come to save. But it was not about his own suffering that he thought. Instead, he pitied those who would reject their Savior and lose eternal life. And the thought of his disciples was uppermost in his mind. He knew that after his suffering was over, they would be left to struggle in the world. Jesus wanted to tell them many things that would comfort their hearts when he should walk no more with them. He had hoped to speak about these things at their last meeting before his death. But he could not tell them now. Christ saw that they were not ready to listen. The disciples had been arguing among themselves. They still thought that Christ would soon become king. Each of them wanted the highest place in his kingdom. So they had jealous and angry feelings toward one another. There was still another cause of trouble. At a feast, it was the custom for a servant to wash the feet of the guests. The pitcher of water, the basin, and the towel were there, ready for the foot washing. But no servant was present, and it was the disciples' part to perform it. But each disciple refused to be a servant to the rest. He was not willing to wash their feet, so in silence they had taken their places at the table. Jesus waited a while to see what they would do. Then he himself rose from the table. He wrapped the towel around himself, poured water into the basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet. Although their struggle to be first hurt him deeply, he did not scold them. He showed his love by acting as a servant to his own disciples. When he had finished, he said to them, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." John 13:14-15. In this way, Christ taught them that they ought to help one another. Instead of seeking the highest place, each should be willing to serve the others. The Savior came into the world to work for others. Jesus lived to help and save the needy and sinful. He wants us to do as he did. The disciples were ashamed of their jealousy and selfishness. Love for their Lord and for one another filled their hearts. Now they could pay attention to Christ's teaching. As they still sat at the table, Jesus took bread, said a prayer of thanks, tore it into pieces, and passed it out to them. "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me," he said. Luke 22:19. Then after the meal, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Verse 20. The Bible says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." 1 Corinthians 11:26. The bread and the wine represent the body and the blood of Christ. As the bread was broken and the wine was poured out, so on the cross, Christ's body was broken and his blood was shed to save us. By eating the bread and drinking the wine, we show that we believe this. We indicate that we repent of our sins and that we accept Christ as our Savior. As the disciples sat at the table with Jesus, they saw that he still seemed greatly troubled. A cloud of gloom settled on them all, and they ate in silence. At last Jesus spoke and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Matthew 26:21. His words hurt and amazed his disciples. Each began to look into his heart to see if it had any shadow of an evil thought against their master. One after another they asked, "Lord, is it I?" Verse 22. Judas alone remained silent. His silence caught everyone's attention. When he saw that the others noticed that he hadn't said anything, he too asked, "Rabbi, is it I?" Verse 25. And Jesus solemnly replied, "You have said it." Verse 25. Jesus had washed the feet of Judas, but this had not caused him to love the Savior more. It made him angry that Christ should do a servant's work. Now he knew that Christ would not become king. He was more determined than ever to betray him. Even when he saw that Christ knew his purpose, it did not change his mind. In anger, he quickly left the room to carry out his wicked plan. Everyone felt a sense of relief when Judas departed. The Savior's face relaxed, and the shadow of sadness lifted from the disciples. Christ now talked for some time with his disciples. He was going to his Father's house, he said, to prepare a place for them. Then he would return to take them home with him. Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit to be their teacher and comforter while he was gone. If they would pray in his name, their prayers would surely be answered. Then he prayed for them. Christ asked the Father to protect them from evil, to help them love one another as he had loved them. Jesus prayed for us, as well as for the first disciples. He said, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me." John 17:20-23.